just realised I'm meant to be starting the service. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Great to see everybody. Just to say what we're going to do this morning, we're here to worship our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Our time together, we'll sing some songs and we will pray, and there will be readings from the Bible, and Alistair will bring his message. Is there coffee and tea afterwards? Do we know that? Yeah, there's coffee and tea after the service. That's lovely. And there will be a collection at the end of the worship block, but if you're new here, please just let the bags and the tin just pass you by, because it's for regular attendees. Yep, when we sing songs, if you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to remain seated, that's also okay. You may want to shuffle about so that you can see the screen if you do that. That's about it, I think. Lovely. Before we get started, I'm going to ask if there's any notices, and George has got a plethora of them, so he's best come and do that first. Thank you, George.
Right, three quick notices. The first one is, as you may know, we juggled a lot of balls in the leadership recently, and we dropped one. So I'm afraid there has to be a special church meeting next Sunday to re-elect Ian as treasurer. So I hope you will bear with your patience with us on that. There are at the back some of these, which have been created by a lady from the pantry, and to raise money for the food pantry. So if anybody would like to take one, we suggest a minimum donation of £2 to Bernie. So they are really lovely. I can't imagine where you would get one of these for £2 otherwise. And finally, a week Saturday, there are some notices here if you're interested in my slideshow, a week Saturday to raise money for Tekora. So just pick one of these up as you leave. Thank you, Susie.
Lovely, thanks, George. Let's start our service by just committing this time to God in prayer. Father God, we come together because we love you and we want to worship you. And Lord, we come together, and as we do, we encourage and support each other as well. And that's a wonderful thing. And Lord, I pray that you would be amongst us this morning as we offer our praises to you, as we worship you as our Lord and our King and our Saviour. Amen. Let's start with a song.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise, no one deserves.
seated.
Sandra, you're on.
Morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you and a lovely spring light day. So on Thursday night, George was allocating us tasks in the music group to lead the worship this morning. And he said, Sandra, you could do something. You could read a Mother's Day poem. I said, yes, okay then. But whatever I came across and whatever I was looking at didn't seem quite right. And I just felt God was telling me just to share a testimony this morning. So this is not scripted, so forgive me. But we are obviously here to celebrate Mother's Day, and we've got some lovely children in our fellowship, two of which at the back helping Dave. We're really blessed, aren't we? And lots of us are very thankful for our mums and also our mother-in-laws as well. And we can think of all the ways that we've been blessed through them. But some of us may have lost our mums, they're no longer with us, but we've got some lovely memories of the time that they spent here with us. And some of our mums might be unwell, and we might be worried about them. And we just pray a special blessing on those people, those mums that are struggling at the moment. But I thought we can also think about the God who made the mums and who created us. And one of my favourite psalms is 139, Stuart will know. Some verses, for you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So when I stood up the last time to lead a service, it was when Dan Dupree was here back in January, I think it was. And some of you might have realised that during the service, I wasn't very well. I was picking up Dave's cold, and which turned into a bit of a chest infection. And meant that I had to be off work, which is really unheard of. And during that week, I actually had conjunctivitis in my eyes, which I thought was conjunctivitis. And it turns out my eyes were really, really red raw, really, really sore. No matter what I did, looking into the mirror, to hoping that this condition would go, it just wasn't happening. So I ended up, and I don't like going to the GP. Going to the GP, and short story is that I got sent to the hospital, and they said that I got something called episclerosis in my eyes. So, as I say, willpower wasn't going to do anything. So I put on some steroids, drops for my eyes. So thankfully, I only had to go to the hospital twice. It was a long wait. I didn't realise so many people had to go to the eye hospital. But the nurses were really, really smiley. And thank God for our NHS, that's what I would say. And on the second time that I went to the hospital, a man was sitting next to me. Dave, because it was so overcrowded, Dave had to go elsewhere. he just handed me this. I don't know who he was, but he just handed me this, which said, every day God thinks of you. Every hour he watches over you, every minute, sorry, he cares for you, because every second he loves you. And sorry, I just wanted to share that this morning. I wanted to be an encouragement for other people. I wanted to say thank you for the people that prayed for me. I'm not used to being poorly. Thank you for those people that dropped off tulips on the doorstep. Thank you to my friends who prayed for me, who introduced me to painting. So I just wanted to say thank you to the God who made the mums and created each one of us, and he cares for you each day, every minute. Thank you.
Every day, God thinks of you. Every hour, he watches over you.
Every minute God cares for you, because every second he loves you. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Not a dry eye in the house. Thank you, Sandra, for sharing that. Okay, let's bring our praise and thanks and worship to God now. We're going to sing 3 songs and we're going to take the collection in the last one. Is that all right? Great. Father God, you give us so much. Your provision is so abundant. And we thank you. We thank you that we have so much. And Lord, we give a little bit back today. Thank you for the blessing that we can be and for the blessing of being able to give something back. And I pray that you will do wonderful things with the funds that we have given today. Lord, just make us always generous, Lord, because you are such a generous God. Amen. Amen.
Yes, good morning. We'll just bring our prayers before God now. This is prayers of thanks and worship for our Lord and Saviour. So just come as you feel most comfortable to pray before God. So, Father God, we come before you now and we bring our prayers of praise and thanks. We praise you as the Most High God, Creator of heaven and earth, name above all names. We thank you for choosing us to be your representatives on this earth. We thank you that you provide all our needs to fulfill that commission. You as Jehovah Jireh, the one who supplies all our needs. You as Jehovah Rapha, that brings healing. And Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And we praise you, Jesus. We are told that in the beginning was the Word. That Word was you, Jesus, Son of the Most High. So we thank you that you were willing to become flesh, and that you were willing to die for our salvation, our deliverance, our healing, so that we could be reconciled to the Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you, the Spirit of God on the earth, are with us at all times, and we just need to ask for your counsel and your comfort. We thank you, the triune God, that you are just waiting to engage with us in our daily lives. Now, Father, we just thank on this Mother's Day, we just thank mothers. We just thank them for their love, their patience and their kindness. And we'd ask them to bless them all wherever they are. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And we bring our church family before you now. There are so many needs for healing and restoration. We ask that you would be with each one of those in need. We pray particularly for healing and restoration for Lynn Minette, Jonathan Sturck, Chris Yardy, Sue Gabrielson, Louise Farry, George Bayliss, Marla Llewellyn and Daphne Briley. But Lord, there are many others and you know them all by name. So that we ask you to bring your healing touch to each one and be to them all that they need at this time. We pray that the Holy Spirit's prompting, they would draw near to you and enjoy your comforting presence and reassurance that can bring. And Father, we bring before you our nation at this time. We see so much unrest, discontent and injustice in our society. We would pray for wisdom for our leaders that your agenda for our nation would be overriding those personal and party political agendas that so blight our politics and ultimately our nation. And Father, there are many areas of our world that need your touch at this time. We think particularly of the earthquake in Myanmar and the effect this is having on surrounding areas. We pray that you will bring comfort to those that have lost loved ones, homes and businesses as a result of this tragedy. We pray also that you would overrule in the Ukrainian conflict and that you would prevail upon those negotiating for peace to bring a just and lasting conclusion to this conflict. We also pray for the cessation of conflict in Gaza, that you would soften hearts and bring about a just peace in the area. And Father, there are many other lands blighted by war and suffering, conflict at this time. We would ask that you'd be with those people, and we would ask that the fighting would end and you would bring an enduring peace to be on those lands. And Father, we would ask also that you would touch our world with your healing love and help us to face up to and deal with the climate emergency that we all face. We pray for wisdom for world leaders to agree on equitable policies that will bring about positive changes to our climate and save this planet that we call home. And we just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Do you want open prayer? Okay. Right, we'll have a short time of open prayer, so just feel... if you need to, just bring your prayers. It can be short sentences of prayer before God at this time. Sorry, I'm not getting understanding your message, George. I'm getting a message, but I'm not understanding it.
Sunday school.
Yes, okay. Sunday school's open, apparently. We'll start again. We've got a short time here where if you wish to bring your prayers and petitions before our holy loving Father, there's a time to do it now. There can be just short sentences, one word even, just shout out loud what you feel is on your heart at this time. Thank you. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for all those prayers, those that were said and those that are unsaid. We know that you answer them in your way and in your time. So we commit them to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'd just like to share an old poem that was written quite a long time ago. And so it's from Matthew 10:42. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water, he will certainly not lose his reward. What shall I do? I expect to pass through this world but once. Therefore, any good work, kindness, or service I can render to any person or animals, let me do it now. Let me not neglect or delay to do it, for I will not pass this way again. And that's an old Quaker saying. It isn't the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone that gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word unspoken, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, dear, are your haunting ghosts at night. The stone you might have lifted out of your brother's way, the bit of heartfelt counsel you were hurried too much to say, the loving touch of the hand, dear, the gentle and winsome tone that you had no time or thought for, with troubles enough of your own. These little acts of kindness so easily out of mind, these chances to be angels which even mortals find, they come in the nights of silence to take away the grief when hope is faint and feeble and a drought has stopped belief. The life is all too short, dear, and sorrow is all too great to allow our slow compassion that tarries until too late. And it's not the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone that gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. Give what you have, for you never know. To someone else, it may be better than you can even dare to think. Amen.
The Bible reading this morning is from John 12, verses 2 to 11. And it's Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Amen.
Alistair comes to speak to us.
Thank you.
speak. Lord, we pray that we would hear you clearly this morning. We don't know what condition our hearts are in as we came in this morning, but Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open to you and that Alistair would know clearly what you want him to say. Amen.
So thanks ever so much to our singers and musicians for leading us in worship. Dinner parties. We see them in art. So this is a painting by the 19th century French impressionist artist, Auguste Renoir, called Luncheon of the Boating Party. So that is a group of Renoir's friends relaxing at the Maison Fournaise on the banks of the River Seine in Paris. We see them in film. So there's a film released in 2020 called The Dinner Party. And it's all about a seemingly innocent dinner party that rapidly goes downhill for a playwright and his wife. We see them on the television. How many sketches on the two Ronnies revolved around the dinner party? Hyacinthe Bouquet, of course, and her candlelight suppers. We see them in recipe books. So from Jamie Oliver, whether it's a slow-roasted centrepiece, an extra special seafood dish, or a spicy curry with all the sides, make hosting a breeze with our delicious dinner party recipes. Or you can go to Iceland. But that's not Jamie Oliver. That was my advice there. But our Bible reading from John chapter 12 surely tells us about one of the strangest dinner parties you can ever imagine. So let's see how it all begins. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about 0.5 litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So the first three verses introduce us to some of the guests at the dinner party. So who's there? Well, Lazarus is there. He's just been raised from the dead. So he is not your usual dinner party guest. Martha and Mary are there. Martha is serving, which she often does. Mary takes this really expensive perfume, pours it all over Jesus' feet, and wipes his feet with her hair. And you don't see that at the average dinner party. And of course, Jesus is there. But just in a few hours, he's going to ride on a donkey into Jerusalem. He's going to drive out those who are buying and selling in the temple area. He's going to curse a fig tree. He's going to teach in the temple courts. Going to face the rising tide of hatred and opposition from the religious leaders. And then he's going to be betrayed and denied and unjustly tried and finally nailed to a cross. This is the last social occasion that Jesus is going to enjoy. In a few hours, he is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. In 6 days' time, he will lay down his life upon a cross. So as we join this dinner party, Our eyes are going to focus on just two of the guests, Mary and Judas. Mary never says a word. Never says a word. Judas says far too much. Mary reveals her heart by what she does. Judas will reveal his heart by what he says. This week, we will focus on Mary. Next week, we will focus on Judas. So I am going to invite you to join the dinner party. And we're going to think about Mary and how she is the most wonderful example of humble, loving service to Christ. So welcome to my dinner party. And first of all, we see Mary's humble spirit. Did you know Mary takes centre stage three times in the New Testament? Did you know that every time Mary takes centre stage, she's at the feet of Jesus? So in Luke 10, she is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. In John 11, she falls at the feet of Jesus to show her dependence upon him. Here in John 12, she's anointing the feet of Jesus to express her devotion to him. Or if you like, in Luke 10, she's at the feet of Jesus listening to his words. In John 11, she is at the feet of Jesus to express how much she needs him. And here in John 12, she's anointing the feet of Jesus to express that devotion to him. And of course, Mary's longing to express her devotion to Jesus calls her to flout all the social conventions of the day. I mean, a woman wouldn't normally sit at the feet of a Jewish teacher. A woman certainly wouldn't let down her hair in public. And a woman certainly wouldn't wipe the feet of a man with her hair. Flouts all the social conventions of the day, doesn't it? So this is a wonderful example of humble, loving service to Jesus, no matter what the cost, no matter what others may think. Some of you will know the story of George Muller. George Muller was a 19th century evangelist and devoted his life to caring for orphans. And he was once asked about the secret of his success, the secret of his ministry. And this is what he said, and you can almost pick up a flavour of Mary in his words. He said, "There was a day when I died. Died to self, my opinions, preferences, tastes and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame, even of my brethren or friends." You can see Mary there, can't you? "And since then, I've studied only to show myself approved unto God." And here, as we see in Mary's experience, true service of Christ springs from that commitment to Jesus as Lord. The words we sing so easily, but are so hard to live out. And of course, true service of Jesus begins at the feet of Jesus, as we see here with Mary. Mary's humble spirit. Then there's Mary's perceptive heart. So Mary anoints the feet of Jesus with this very expensive perfume. And I was thinking, there were four groups of people in the Old Testament who were anointed. I wonder if you could think who they might be. Well, prophets, priests, kings, and those who had died. Jesus fits the first three groups, prophet, priest, and king. In about a week, he will die, and he will fit the fourth group. He will be anointed for a second time. His body will lie in the cool and the silence of that tomb in the Jerusalem garden. And I wonder if she anointed the feet of Jesus, whether Mary had some sort of foreknowledge of his forthcoming death in just a week. Possibly. Jesus often spoke about his suffering and death. Mary sensed perhaps the rising tide of hatred and opposition towards Jesus. Maybe she was beginning to think, you know, Jesus just doesn't fit. He does not fit in this world of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And surely somebody who hangs out with tax collectors and prostitutes, surely someone who says he is a friend of sinners, surely someone who is saying and doing the most extraordinary things is not going to last very long in this world. Whatever may be the case, although the full significance of what Mary did may be hidden from her, she seems to sense the rising tide of darkness that is gathering, those dark clouds. She seems to perceive something of the heart of Jesus. And when everybody else criticizes her and condemns her, Jesus says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. And surely the secret of Mary's insight, the secret of her devotion to Christ, is that we often find her at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And actually, that is a path to the heart of Jesus that's open to every single one of us. Every single one of us. Because as we make it our priority, if you like, to hear his word, to spend time in his presence, then our hearts begin to attune with his heart. Perhaps we begin to see how and when and where, like Mary, he wants us to serve him. I guess most of us have a mobile phone. Did you know the average person checks their mobile phone 205 times a day? Maybe some are above average, maybe some are below. If you think that blows your mind, believe it or not, the average person taps, types, swipes, and pinches their phone 2,600 times a day. Staggering, isn't it? I wonder how many of the equivalents of taps, types, swipes, and pinches take place in our relationship with Jesus each day. So if the number of times was tracked, if you like, I wonder if we would be shocked or surprised. Maybe pleasantly surprised at the number of times we speak to Jesus during the day. Maybe actually quite shocked because we realise that many hours pass and we just haven't even given him a thought. Well, here's Mary's example. Intimacy with Jesus only grows as we spend time in his presence, as we listen to his word, as we walk with him and talk with him. Mary's perceptive heart. Mary's timely act. Think again of those words of Jesus. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. It was intended that she should save this perfume for this moment, in anticipation, if you like, of my burial. Now was the time for Mary to serve Jesus. If she let that moment pass, then the opportunity to minister to him would have gone. In just a few hours, he's riding off into Jerusalem. If she kept that perfume just for a few more hours, the opportunity to serve Jesus would have just gone, just like that. It's a reminder, perhaps, isn't it, that life is fragile. Life is very unpredictable. Life is uncertain. Remember how James put it? you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. I wonder if Mary knew that Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem tomorrow. Paul teaches us, therefore, as we have opportunity, this is Mary's opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And in the words of Jesus, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Thomas Carlyle was a 19th century Scottish physicist, historian. And the story is told that he had this terrible sense of remorse, deep sense of remorse, that he never really appreciated his wife while she was still alive. And he said this, "If only I could see her but once more, were it but for 5 minutes, to let her know that I always loved her." She never did know it. Never. I think it's always a reminder, isn't it? Particularly on Mother's Day, as we've already heard. It's a great day, isn't it, to tell the people closest to us how much we love them, how much they mean to us. And you've got to do these things while you can, haven't you? But I think it's also true, perhaps, to say that now is also the time to serve Jesus while we've got the opportunity. And I always think it's great when, I've probably said this before, I always think it's great when the only competition in a church is who can serve the most. I think that's a great competition for a church. Who can serve the most? And I'm so grateful to George. If you've ever seen George's rotors, they are awesome. Absolutely awesome. They go wider and wider, don't they? And you think about everything that takes place in our church in a typical week. We thank God for Messy Church yesterday, for instance. You think of all the ministries that take place, all the work that takes place in our church in a typical day, a typical week. And, you know, you're just so aware that all of these ministries will be so blessed by more and more people getting involved. We would make George's day if we went up to him and said to him after this service, "George, how can I serve? I'd love to serve, George. I'd love to be part of the competition. Who can serve the most?" Please tell George how you can serve. I have a word with me as well. I was thinking about the contrast between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. You know, the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life, isn't it? Because water flows into it and water flows out of it. What about the Dead Sea? Nothing lives in the Dead Sea because it has no outlet. And I think it's as we serve Christ, as we give, that actually we find that we grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. Service actually blesses us in our relationship with Christ as it blesses others. So now, if you like Mary, is the time to serve Jesus. Mary's timely act. And of course, we have to also think finally of Mary's extravagant worship. Here it is. "Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." So nard. Nard is an oil. It's extracted from the nard plant that grows in India. We heard in verse 5 that it's worth a year's wages. So this is not something you can get from B&M Bargains just down the road. This is expensive perfume. And maybe the fact that so many people from Jerusalem had turned up when Lazarus had died and the family's got this really expensive perfume, maybe that suggests they're fairly wealthy. Whatever may be the case, this is an incredibly extravagant gesture. Perfume worth a year's wages poured over the feet of Jesus. How much do you think is extravagant? How much do you think is extravagant? I'll give you a few examples. Leonardo DiCaprio hired a super yacht for a week in the Caribbean with some friends. Cost him an eye-watering $410,000. Extravagant? Or is it a drop in the ocean, as it were, for a boat? When you're worth $300 million. Extravagant? Maybe you fancy a city break. So this is a hotel in Las Vegas. It's a suite. This is the Empathy Suite Sky Villa. Las Vegas, it's designed by the artist Damien Hirst. It has two master bedrooms, two massage rooms, a salt relaxation room, whatever you're supposed to do in that, and a cantilevered jacuzzi that overlooks the strip. Oh, $100,000 a night, in case you wondered. Extravagant? Maybe you're thinking of changing your car. So how about this one? This is the Bugatti W16 Mistral. I think that's Mal Cop, is it, in the background, just rising up there? Starting price, $5.5 million. Extravagant? I went on the Bugatti website for a bit of a laugh, and there was a slogan. I wonder if you could guess what it said. It said, "This is for eternity." And I thought, that's ironic, because I really don't think it is. So I thought, if I sue them for false advertising, maybe they'll give me one. I thought, maybe not. And of course, it is Mother's Day, isn't it? So how about some perfume? This is Chumuk, which doesn't sound very nice, does it? It sounds absolutely awful. I might have misjudged the pronunciation, but it looks like Chumuk to me. It's crafted from rare and precious ingredients, as I'm sure you might expect. It's housed in this very ornate bottle, and it contains 3,570 diamonds, topaz, pearls, 18-karat gold, $1.28 million if you wanted to treat anybody. Extravagant? What about Mary? What about Mary pouring that very expensive perfume all over the feet of Jesus? Extravagant? It's difficult, isn't it? I think what we could say is that extravagance and extreme are not usually God's will. And I think the reason for that is that so often they are fed by the ego of the Christian or the church concerned. But maybe we could also look at it the other way round. I think there's also a danger that we can become so balanced, so circumspect, so measured, that we completely lose touch with the extravagance of a heart like Mary's. So balanced, so circumspect, so measured, so careful. We just lose touch with the extravagance of a heart like Mary. There is, after all, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Maybe that's a reminder that there is a time to throw away in love and devotion to the one who's due glory and honour and praise. So don't let anybody try and talk you into being reasonable in your joy or balanced in your love or cautious in your devotion. What about some extravagance like Mary in our love, in our devotion, in our joy, in our service? Maybe those well-known words from Isaac Watts fit very well with this little passage. Were the whole realm of nature mine, never mind a Bugatti, never mind some expensive perfume, but were the whole realm of nature mine, even that actually is going to be an offering that's far too small. Why is that, do you think? Well, because love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, everything. Verse 3 tells us that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, the fragrance of the extravagance, the fragrance of the worship. It's a powerful reminder, isn't it, that costly, loving, sincere service of Christ just has that capacity to touch and bless so many other lives. Of course, not everybody thinks like that, do they? But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? What's worth a year's wages? He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. But that is for next time. So let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful example of Mary. Lord, we pray too for that same humble spirit that seeks to serve you, regardless of the cost and regardless of what others might think. We pray for that same perceptive heart that just makes it our priority to spend our time sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, spending time in his presence, that we might really attune to his heart and discern where and when and how we might serve him. Thank you too, Father, for Mary's timely act and for reminding us that it's so important to serve Jesus while we can, because now is the time always to serve Jesus. Maybe above all, Lord, we want to thank you for that extravagant worship of Mary. And Lord, we echo those words of the hymn that even if we had the whole realm of nature, even that's going to be an offering that is far too small. And we thank you that because of that love that is so amazing, so divine, everything is demanded of us. Our souls, our lives, our all. So we offer ourselves to you afresh in the name of Jesus. Amen. I suspect I probably don't need to announce our final hymn, but we are going to sing it anyway.
Oh,
And let's pray together. So, Father, once again, we offer every part of our lives to you. So please send us out now to serve freely, gratefully, and hopefully in the power of your Holy Spirit and for the glory and honour of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.